GrandSlimps.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
This is the people's war. It is our war. We are the fighters. Fight it, then. Fight it with all that is in us. And may God defend the right.
Warning! Warning!
We've got to stop them! They're going to kill us all!
See how the trouble you've started?
Be they the government, be they industry, be they organized labor, be they anyone, or human beings.
Time when the operation of the machine becomes so odious, makes you so sick at heart, that you can't take part. You can't even passively take part. And you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, upon all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop. And you've got to win the game to the people who run it, to the people who own it. That unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working at all.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported talk radio station, throwing ourselves upon the gears of the machine. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
You called down the thunder, well now you've got it.
Right. You tell them I'm coming, and hell's coming with me, you hear? Hell's coming with me!
Revolution Radio!
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyal? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me,
give me liberty! Oh, give me!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence and their global partners are destroying the deep state criminal power structure that has ruled over our planet for hundreds of years.
We are free with the God-given rights, and we shall not yield that right to any power on earth.
Hi, I'm Scott McKay. The world is at, and I am your host on The Tipping Point. On Revolution Radio, where every Monday from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, we bring you the latest in this ensuing takedown of this global criminal empire.
That's an image of strength.
You'll get the raw, hard truth here on The Tipping Point. So come join us Mondays, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, in Studio B at revolution.radio.
Thanks for listening while we take that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And yeah, we're going to get back to your host.
Well, hello, hello, everybody, and welcome to the Christine Porta Show here on Revolution Radio. And I am your host, Christine Porta. And you are listening today, Studio B, on August 22nd. 2022, and it is very good to be here again. Another week gone by. My goodness, another week gone by. I feel so old because it used to take a long time to get from one week to the next, and now it just flies by. It's nice to be here, August 22nd, 2022, on Revolution Radio, the Christine Porta Show. And I want to welcome you all here. I want to let you know that we are on Revolution Radio, which is the number one in listener-supported radio in the world. Why is that? Because Revolution Radio is, bar none, the number one listener-supported radio, because they give us free speech. Not mean speech or hateful speech or anything like that, but free speech. And not all of us think the same. Even still, we're being kind of forced to in a manner, a big manner, and we don't really want to do that. That is not a good thing to get into. So I'm going to tell you to come on over to freedomslips.com. That's www.freedomslips.com, freedomslips.com, and peruse the website. There's so many different shows, really great shows. And it is more than worth it to give a donation if you can. I have been here. I don't even like to think about it. I don't even think, because I know that my mother died in 2015, and I don't think she had passed away yet when I had started. I think it was around 2014, January 2015, something like that. That's a long time for nice people to keep me on the air, 2 hours of time for that long, and it hasn't always been pretty. I have some interesting thoughts, let me tell you. And I've grown, and I've changed, and I've matured, and I've gotten younger mentally and physically a little bit. But this radio station, the network, has stayed the same. It's my opinion, and they don't feel forced to change it based on what they feel, which is very, very subjective. FreedomSlips.com. Come on over to Element and look up freedomslips.com, element.o, and you look up freedomslips.org. Stop changing the chat rooms and the technical stuff, because it's not good for me. I can't remember any of this stuff anymore. I stopped with Windows 2 or whatever, XP. It wasn't even 2. I'm not that old. It was XP. XP is when I last had a way with understanding this stuff. I'm not kidding. So freedomslips.com, come on over. Support Revolution Radio. Support the other hosts. Disagree with them if you want. This is America still. We're clinging on to the last remnants of America, but we do what we do. Welcome to my show. Today is, again, I'm going to repeat myself, it's already August 22nd, 2022. The summer flew by. Personally, I found that it felt like we were in microwave setting medium all most of the summer. And it is good to be here today. I wanted to let you know that I wanted to say thank you to those of you who have given to my Give, Send, Go campaign. I am really pushing and fighting and just will not give up to get out of Connecticut. My Give, Send, Go campaign is givesendgo.com/leavingconnecticut, LEAVING, Connecticut CT. There's not too many other ones there, so you can find it. And I want to tell you that the money that you have given to me has helped me, and I'll tell you how it has helped me. I just went to Zippy Lube or wherever, and I go, no, it's actually Valvoline, and I got, I think it's Valvoline, maybe it's Zippy Lube, Zippy Lube, whatever it is, and I got my car's transmission cleaned out and changed the fluid out of, and if you guys hadn't given me the donations, I would never have been able to do it. And that's a pragmatic, practical thing. I'm not asking for money or donations because I want to get a new dress or whatever else. I'm not saying that other people's are wrong campaigns, but I'm not asking because of any other reason except that I need the help. I can only work part-time, and that's getting to me. I have a lot of physical disabilities and issues regarding my disability, and it is, you are a blessing that you will never know. I have narrowed it down to two houses. My dream is to get a home for my children. My parents and my own family, they just didn't do anything. They just kind of just took everything and drained all the life out of it. They didn't leave us home. They didn't leave us anything except debt and foreclosure. And I don't want to do that to my children. And, you know, I've gone through a lot. I've gone through a lot because of the ritual abuse. I've gone through a lot trying to fight myself because everybody, most everybody in my life said, you're lying, you're making it up. I don't know why I would lie, and I don't know why I would make it up. I don't see any benefit at all of anybody doing that. Plus, I've talked to people who have had an experience with talking with me, and this was years ago, who said there was no way that you could make it up, Christine, because it's too detailed. Now, maybe, but even now, some of the deeper abuse issues, that I have gone through therapy for years to reach. No way I could have made that up. There's absolutely so sorry for those who think that it's a false memory and all that other good stuff. You can't. There's too many details in it to be fake. So before I digress, which I really do a lot, these are pragmatic requests that I'm asking for. It's been a very trying time through my whole life, and I just want to help my children to move out of here and to get on their feet, even though they're adults, because no matter if they become 95 years old, they're always going to be my babies, and I don't want poverty to be a problem in their lives. And poverty has been a problem in my life for many years, many, many years. And that's like the number one tool of the devil, is to keep a person impoverished. You can't do anything in the world when you're poor. And so it's givesendgo.com, leaving Connecticut. I have two homes that I'm looking at that are not in Connecticut. And I love Connecticut. Connecticut is gorgeous. It's been my home for my entire life, mostly, save for a few years. And it's just beautiful, and it's beautiful, and it's lovely, but I can't afford it. I'm going to be 59 years old in a couple months, and I am already in affordable housing, and I still am struggling. So they lowered my money, and that's why I'm asking. So I want to tell you, for those who gave, and there was just a decent amount of people. I can't imagine people being so decent. It just makes me, like, get teary. I am working on my car. I have one more repair to do, and that's something to do with the bearings or something like that, wheel bearings or wheel, something like that. And I want to get another oil change and other fluids changed so that I can continue to drive it. Other than that, it is really good. It's a good car. This was a blessing for me. I went 8 years without a car, and really not that much help. I was blessed with friends who would give me a ride here and there, but it was really, really hard. I walked so much that I damaged my back, and my injuries became worse because I just couldn't get any assistance. So I'm right on the cusp of getting into a position and into a situation where I want to be, so I can bring my children and myself to, I'm looking out of state, much cheaper place to live. Two very nice homes. And I will share with you when I get them. I will be so happy that you won't be able to stop me from hearing about them. And, or letting you hear about them. And I think for the repair that I need this time around is about $400, $500, I don't know. I've pretty much gotten every single credit card that I can with my credit and my income, and those are pretty much maxed out. But if anyone wants to give, please, I so appreciate it. I'm so sorry to ask, because that's really kind of, it's not something that I like to do. So that's my update. I can thank you so much, but I can never express how grateful I am for your goodness and your decency. So thank you very, very much. God bless you a hundredfold for donating to me. I wanted to read something, but I also today wanted to talk about artificial intelligence. That's going to be the gist of the show, mostly. Of course, I digress, which is fun sometimes. And what's happening within society to cause us to embrace the literal lack of humanity that's going on. Why do we allow ourselves to be edited from the inside out? I read a lot about the shots and the GMO and the food, and I read about the way that they're chemically altering us. But I think there's something that we need to understand. The devil can't tempt somebody with something that they don't want. You know what I mean? And if we look at the devil as parasites that are using dark psychology against us, there's something that we need to take responsibility for. And that's what we allow ourselves to be tempted with. But before that, I wanted to read this. Now, for 2 years, and I think I lost more listeners, probably gained some too, but I think for the most part, I lost more listeners because I just felt so bad about what was going on with the pandemic and the fear porn. And, you know, I talk about MKUltra fear-based mind control, and people say, oh, Christine, you know, the same thing over and over again. Christine, you're crazy from my childhood. Nobody listened to me. Nobody believed me. I was making it up. I was a liar, blah, blah, blah. And then I tried to talk about MKUltra fear-based mind control and the satanic ritual abuse and other things that are going, oh, Christine, you're crazy, and all that other stuff. But that's exactly what they did with the pandemic. Cognitive dissonance is what took effect. Because I think what happened is people didn't want to be proven wrong, because then they would be embarrassed because they believed the wrong thing, which is just beyond my comprehension. But I don't comprehend much these days. I really don't. I haven't comprehended a lot throughout my life. And I just, bleh, you know. But I wanted to tell you that here's the thing about cancer. Cancer begins when genetic changes interfere with the normal replication and replacement of cells in the body. It literally becomes a difference in the cellular level. Cells start to grow uncontrollably and may form a tumor. It is the number two leading cause of death in the United States. Unfortunately, it appears that the disease may be on the rise thanks to the experimental COVID-19 injections, because official U.S. government data confirms the risk of developing cancer following the COVID-19 shots increases by, listen, 143,233%. Now, since we're science-based, that's a scientific data. I'm going to put the link that I read it through in the chat, so you can read that on your own. It's, let me see now, where am I looking now? Put in the chat, all the links that I read from, I put in the chat. And I think the only reason that a lot of people haven't heard about it is because they're not letting you hear about it. And this is, again, to reiterate, this is a total 100% reason that we need to keep Revolution Radio and networks like it on the air. 143,233%. It's on VAERS, the VAERS Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System, which contains the historical data on adverse reactions reported against every vaccine that has been administered in the United States of America. And when you search the CDC VAERS database on the number of cancer cases reported as adverse reactions to the COVID-19 injections since they were first rolled out in the USA, it reveals that from December 2020 to the 5th August 2022, a total of 2,579 adverse events related to cancer were made in just 1 year, 8 months. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Before that, in 2008 to 2020, which is a period of 13 years, that revealed that there were only 791 adverse events related to cancer, compared to 2,579 in less than 1 year, 8 months. I think we need to pay attention of what's going on. And we really need to understand that mentally and emotionally. I get it. I do. I understand MKUltra fear-based mind control. I understand the dark psychology that people use against us, and certainly the abuse that people put children through, and the mental manipulation, the mental conditioning that goes on in the schools, in the classroom, in the recess, in the park, in the clubs, in the everything. Why are we allowing this to happen? We can't blame the devil for that which we are okay with. We can't do it. Now, I don't understand what I think myself, my opinion, and it's my show, I can give it, and I'm very opinionated. I think I like to search things, I like to research things. I don't understand why bad things happen. I don't understand why people do evil things, but I don't understand why people allow it and look the other way. I think a lot of times people will say to people like me, well, you made it up. Or people that are going through what I went through, well, that's probably a false memory. Let's start another false memory syndrome foundation and protect ourselves from people like you. I think that what happens is not a nefarious thing. I think that people get scared because they don't know how to react and they don't feel prepared to help another human being to get through that. I watch black people, and I'm not saying they shouldn't talk about it, but if you watch black people talk about slavery this and slavery that, and look what happened 100 years ago. Oh, 70 years ago. Oh, let's go back. You know, in the Bible it says the dog goes back to its vomit. And there's no reason to forget about it. It's not like, oh, let's erase Aunt Jemima off the records. Or let's get those books that depicted what it was like back then off the records. This is continuously recycling the same thing over and over again. We shouldn't forget it. But yet if you look at it, we're also erasing much more important aspects of history. It's not that we shouldn't talk about it, because we should. But here's the thing. There are little black children and little brown children, personally I don't know the difference between black and brown, but however you want to do it, that are being trafficked into this country freely and without any record of who they are, without any trace. These little children are being openly walked over the border in America. And Sippy Cup, well, you know what happened to him, right? And his son, if you look at his son's laptop or any of the images on it, I had to go in the bathroom for 3 hours after I saw one image of what was on that man's laptop. Okay. But I mean, by all means, let's raid Trump again, because that's important. This is what I'm talking about. These little children are coming in and they are being tortured. There's a lot of good people who are trying to stop it. There are. But it's gotten so much worse. So why are we crying about slavery of the past and things that happened at Sesame Street theme park, because the perception was some Linda Dinda didn't look at the little black kids and they're all going to burn down the parade? Perception is not always accurate. Our perception of things is not always accurate. Did it happen? I don't know. I wasn't there. But I certainly know that the news media changes the perception of a lot of people. There's a man named Craig Sawyer. Look him up on YouTube. He's also on Facebook. Craig Sawyer. And he's working diligently to rescue children who are in the most heinous situations. I'm going to tell you, the people that abuse children are sick. You cannot get any closer to evil and demonic than those people. So while we're happily pandering to each other with our Black Lives Matter bumper stickers and our pat on the shoulder and our kneeling down in front of each other, these children are still being trafficked. They're still living in abject poverty in neighborhoods near you. So what does the pandering do? What good does it do if nothing changes? The devil uses our feelings. He uses our emotions. And I think this goes on to my following other statement, opinion, on how are we blaming artificial intelligence when it is we ourselves who have lost the literal God gene. And very easily, we are allowing ourselves to be edited. We talk about evil, but we allow it to go on because we don't know how to deal with it, and we don't want to do the work, and we look at children being dragged over from the border, being raped and sodomized and ritualized and trafficked and beaten and probably eaten and God knows what else. And we thank God that the big fat meanie Trump isn't sending out any offensive tweets. We have allowed this. We have allowed it due to the alteration of our perception. This is a statement that I'm going to give you. I'm going to give you a little story, because I've noticed it and I test my theory. And it's pretty good because, you know, I'm very scientific. I test my theories. And I go to Yahoo a lot. I have an email on Yahoo, kristengord@yahoo.com. If you want to come say hi, be a guest, whatever you want to do. And Yahoo had an article about the monkeypox. Ew. Okay, so they show this guy whose nose was, I don't know. I'm not going to put the picture in the chat because it's disgusting. And it said that gay men are getting monkeypox because it passes through sexual contact in the anus. I mean, okay, that's why they're getting it. It's not a lie, and they're getting very sickened by it. So I went in, and I thought, let's see, because they're banning everything. Everything that you say, they ban. Everything. And we've allowed this over the years. We want to feel good. We want to look really good. We want to say, oh, I don't want to hurt anybody. The truth hurts, but the lies kill. And that's what we're doing to society. We're lying so much that it's killing us. We're killing ourselves with lies. And I went in and I said, aw, this is what I posted. Aw, the poor gays. That's disgusting. That's all I said. Listen again to what I said. It said monkeypox is targeting gays, or gays are getting monkeypox. And they showed this picture of some guy who I don't know what was on his face. Didn't ask. It may have said it in the article. It actually made me almost throw up. And so I went, aw, poor gays. That's disgusting. Right? So I thought, oh, maybe that actually bypassed the weird censors. But it didn't. Like 10, 20 minutes later, it said, we deleted your comment because we felt that it was... It wasn't even that it bypassed or violated their protocol, their programming, that sort of thing. They said that it might offend somebody. Why? Why would that offend somebody? Why would awe, the poor gays, that's disgusting, offend anybody? Was I supposed to say, oh, yay, you go, homosexuals, go, butt hump, have it all day long, look at your nose rotting off, oh, you don't deserve it at all? Would that have been, you know, something that would have been accepted? My point is not to make fun, because it's disgusting and it's sad that we've reached that kind of a place in life and society. Aw, poor gays, that's disgusting, is not offensive unless someone's perception is so off that they don't understand the words anymore. Do you know that witches who practice dark arts use words? People say spells are words and they're evil. But it's not because the words are evil. It's because the devil screws up our perception. You ever see somebody who's under the influence of a demonic being and they think that they're being insulted? There was once this little baby, he was a black baby, whether he was from Africa or not, I'm not going to call him African American because he was from Haiti. And he was beaten to death by one of his caregivers. And I went in, you know, once in a while, I said, my God, that's horrible, the poor little baby. So this black girl comes in and she starts, you effing this, you fat fucking honky, you son of a bitch, excuse my language. I said, why are you saying that to me? I didn't do anything. I didn't kill him. How dare you say, oh, poor baby. This is where our society is. I'm not supposed to feel sorry for a little black baby. Personally, I think he's better off. Probably have more peace in death than he does in life. And he was only like 2. But I was not supposed to express that sentiment. I don't really know why. I was dumbfounded by that. I really was. But I saw it in stark technicolor. And how when Zippity Street on Sesame Street has a parade and they perceive that the purple dragon didn't come over and wave at the little black kids deserves a firebombing to their parade. Well, of course they're going to settle for a couple of million. Make sure that your feelings are, you know, realized. We've gone over the deep end. Perception is different for everyone. Our feelings are subjective. And we are under the assault and conditioning of a finely honed machine who are staring us right, left, up, down, and into and out of common sense. Am I saying we should ignore all protests against slavery? Of course not. Am I saying that they're all wrong? Of course not. But I'm saying we've gotten so consumed that we're missing the point. Does it make sense? I don't even know if anybody listens to me anymore. Because we've gone so far from the realm of level-headed and critical thinking that we are being led around by our noses via our feelings. In 2020, at first I thought, oh dear God, a pandemic. Because I'll tell you, I used to go to the buffet and have a panic attack because people let their children go in there and call their coughing like goats. And I'm not going to go eat at the buffet. I get really sick. I have terrible asthma. I get terrible coughs and I can't breathe and it's scary for me. And I was leaving college and I said, well, shit. It figures. Perfect timing. I'm in my third, fourth semester of college, finally, and I gotta leave. You know, that's where it went for me. But I actually thought, oh my God, I'm gonna die. It's gonna kill me. I'm around all these people. I must have washed my hands for 25 minutes. But then I realized what they were doing. And I thought, well, do I think it's fake? I don't know. But I think that the virus was weaponized. And I think it's probably more real now that everybody's bent over for the shot than prior to the shot. But they started then, and all along with the, you gotta save grandma. Hey, that's where that's from. No, wait, my chat went. Thank you, Flippy. Flippy posted a a meme. Is it a meme or a meme? I don't know. My daughter laughs her head off at me because it looks like meme, but I call it, I think it's called meme. I'm not sure. So I call it meme and she just laughs. As a dog returns to its vomit, so a fool returns to his folly. Proverbs 26:11. Thank you, Flippy, for that, because I didn't know where that was. And I think that's exactly what I'm trying to say. But why? Why do we go back to our folly? Why do we go back to our vomit? The Yahoo comment, oh, poor gays. That's disgusting. Didn't say gays were disgusting. I said poor gays. In sympathy. Monkeypox is disgusting. But they didn't understand it because we've lost our flippin' chips. The other day, I went to the store and it made me laugh. Made me laugh a lot. I felt bad because I thought, well, it isn't funny, but I have that kind of nervous thing where you get silly over things that you're not supposed to get silly over. And I'm walking by a bottle return. And there's 4 bottle return machines in the little room, all of which are about 2 feet apart from each other. It's making me laugh. I can't help it. So you have to follow me. There's about 1.5, 1 feet, 2 feet apart. And there's 2 customers in there very, very slowly returning their bottles. I just can't. I'm so sorry. God forgive me. I'm going to hell. I promise you I'm going to hell. And I walk by the crowd. I'm kind of, because I walk slow now because my back and my legs are so bad. And I'm walking slow, kind of bop. You know, I'm getting to the age where I'm like, I don't care if you want to pass me. Go on the other side of the road and pass me. And that goes from when I'm walking too. Just get out of my way. And they're mindlessly standing there, inches apart, mind you. Inches apart, all masked up, still with the masks. It's August 2022. The pandemic is friggin' over, but they got to keep the masks on. And they're staring into the bottle return room where there's 2 people with 4 bottle return machines that are like at least 1.5 feet apart, at least from each other. I mean, the machines, you're about 4 or 5 feet away from each other. And they wouldn't go in, masked up, inches apart from each other, wouldn't go in where the other people were returning bottles to keep themselves safe. I'm sorry. I don't know what else we can do. I don't know what else a person can do. It is not about health, and it's certainly not about safety. So it has to be the ego boost that these people get. So I started to laugh. I mean, how many shots are these people up to? 6? How many boosters? 4? Inches apart, breathing on each other with their phones stuck in their face, masked up, waiting to stand feet apart in a bottle return room. But they can't go in because most of them are really dumb. It's a pandemic of the dumb. Incredibly dumb. I'm sorry. I know. It's mean. But it's dumb. I used to feel bad. Now I just laugh. Because it's mindlessly zombie-like bad. It's mindlessly zombie-like dumb. And I can't apologize for hurting people's feelings anymore. Because it's so obviously dumb. And I think that when we look at people, the parasites, because I refuse to call them the elites anymore, they're not elites, they're parasites, and they laugh, or they call them effing you-know-what holes, like the guy who started Facebook called people a bunch of freaking idiots, just to use the term, excuse me for dropping the other words before. I don't blame them. But what they're doing here is they're piggybacking onto the words. It's ingenious if you think about it. The New York governor signs a law. It's a law that bans gendered language for professions. Gendered language. Can't be a milkman anymore. You have to be a milk person or whatever they call it. I didn't read the article because she's opening camps for COVID anyway. So we know where her hile lies. But it's literally, it really is not good. Because you can't get people out of the trance. You can't get people to wake up. I went through it in my childhood. That's why I'm here now. The good Lord watched over me. He said, you're being tortured, and no one will believe you. And they lock you in a basement, and everybody says you're sick. You went nuts. Nobody knows what's wrong with you. Why didn't anybody ask at the age of 15 when you put children in basements? You're not supposed to do that. But now I'm here, and I understand. And I honestly think, not that God caused it, but that God let it happen and brought beauty from ashes so I could protect my children when the time came for them to go into the world. Because so many people are sacrificing their children on different altars. And we need to wake up, because everything that we do, and even that which we allow to be done, we're going to have to answer. We're going to have to answer however you identify with God or Jesus or Allah or the witchcraft, whatever they do. I don't care. That's great that you have a spiritual connection. It's not my business how you do it. But every single one of us is going to have to find our karma. And we better have a darn good answer. Because it says in the Bible, and I'm not sure any other religious writing, but I think a few, that don't hurt children. And Jesus said, better that a man have a millstone wrapped around his neck and be dropped into the deepest part of the ocean than hurt one of these little ones. There was a... This makes me mad. I get mad at this, okay? Twofold. Transgenders have a mental illness. Transgenders also have a right to do what they want. But the powers that be, the parasitical powers that be, shove it in our face. Why? Not because they care. They don't care. So they can sign new laws with their little causes. Ban language. But then on the coattails of the banning of language, they could put in another law, which is exactly what they're doing. Like the CDC coming out and saying, oh, we've got to rethink how we responded to the pandemic. You think? But that's not why they're doing it. They're doing it so they can gain more power and make new laws. And everybody's going to go, oh, look at how nice the CDC is. Look at them. They know they did a boo-boo, and they're going to fix it as people are dropping like flies. Two-year-olds are having massive heart attacks. Oh, it's just a mystery. Just a mystery. And I've had it. And my tone has changed over the years on my happy little Kiss Me, I'm Psychic Through the Darkness radio show. Because we're not going to be, the world's not going to end from God. The world's not going to end by the devil. The world's going to end. It's going to implode by the stupidity of all of us. An 80-year-old granny was banned from the YMCA after demanding a biological male leave a woman's locker room where little girls were undressing. Because a bad thing would never happen there. Everybody who has a fake penis and everyone who has a fake vagina, never going to hurt anybody. They are so wonderful, and they're happy, and they care. Oh my God, come on now. Stop. An 80-year-old, I put the article in the chat, an 80-year-old Washington State woman has been banned from using her local YMCA's pool after she expressed discomfort with a biological male in the woman's locker room as young girls were undressing. She was in the shower when she heard a male voice and peeked out to find a biological male, all the Fruit Loops hanging out, in a woman's swimsuit, engaging with little girls who were undressing. The biological male was reportedly with girls from a day camp overseeing their bathroom activities. The biological male, dressed as a girl, was with the girls from the day camp overseeing the bathroom activities. When you see this in the mainstream media, they don't tell you that. Addressing the Port Townsend City Council on Monday, Julie Jamin, a resident of Port Townsend of about 40 years, described the situation that she had been in after her regular swim at Mountain Valley Pool. In an effort by the city and the YMCA to apply the neo-cultural gender rules at Mountain View Pool dressing shower room facilities, women and children are being put at risk, she said. Jamin said that she had been showering after her July 26 swim at the pool when she heard a man's voice in the woman's dressing room. She said that she saw a man in a woman's swimsuit watching the little girls pull down their bathing suits in order to use the toilets in the dressing room. I gotta really be careful about reading this. It's a big one for me, a big trigger for me. In an email from the YMCA's marketing and communications manager to the Post-Millennial, they said that the staff member was not engaging with these girls, but rather escorting them to the dressing room. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's the only place where there's no cameras, folks. According to the Port Townsend Free Press, Jamin, who had been in the shower when she realized what was happening, hidden behind her thin sheer shower curtains, asked this person, revealed to go by the name Clementine Adams, "Do you have a penis?" "None of your business," Adams reportedly responded. "Get out of here right now," she replied. "You're discriminating, and you can't use the pool anymore, and I'm calling the police." Immediately, they didn't check to see if the kids had any bruises, just immediately go after the 80-year-old woman. Because that's the most important thing. And so they requested that Adams leave the room. "You're discriminating and you can't use the pool anymore, and I'm calling the police," YMCA aquatics manager Rowan DeLuna told Jamin after she requested that Adams leave the room, according to a Port Townsend Free Press newspaper. "We can't use their rules, their code of conduct, specifically using disrespectful words or gestures towards YMCA staff or others, and abusive, harassing, or obscene language or gestures towards YMCA staff or others." This thing was employed at a camp. And let's sacrifice our children some more, because we don't look politically correct enough, do we? Let's just see what's going to happen. Oh, it's okay. The kids will get a good bunch of donations from the GoFundMe that mom and dad set up after their anus tears open. I'm sorry, was that offensive? Gee, it's so much worse than what these kids are doing with intact penises in a girl's bathing suit. Because pedophiles are mentally ill, as are transgenders. And pedophiles are not as mentally ill as we think, because they know how to do things like this. Nothing from the why to say, are the children okay? Are they safe? Is there been any accusations from any other children? I don't even know what to say. I don't know what to say, but we have to stop this. I can't read any more of the article. It's in the chat. They can't just get all gender bathrooms, which they need to do. Just get their own little bathroom. Okay, there's something wrong when these people are so obsessed with the bathrooms. Why do you think that you have people like this so obsessed with their bathrooms? Bathrooms in the school, bathrooms in the Y. Why do you think? Why do you think they're doing that? Why are they targeting children? Why are they stripping their clothes practically all the way off and inviting little minor children to the drag striptease things that they're doing? Why do you think they're doing that? Do you think they sing Kumbaya and roast marshmallows over the fire? No. They're grooming them. And if we don't do anything, and I think the best that we can do at this point is talk and put videos up and talk. Don't attack, because the LGBTQ has rights. Gay people are not transgender. And transgender are not all pedophiles. People like that guy at the Y, first of all, if he has an intact penis, another little sneaky way of getting around it is saying, well, it doesn't matter. The equipment we have doesn't matter. Oh, yes, it does. If he gets horny over something, it's not going to be his fake vagina that gets excited, is it? So how about we make it a law that you got to chop it off? I'll help. I'll go chop it right off. And they can have a big gaping feces-infested hole where they can make believe for the rest of their lives. I don't care. If that's what you want to do, do it. But leave the children alone. Because you make me sick. Because you're bothering children. It doesn't matter what people do in their own life, in their own time, what they do in the bedroom. They're not in the bedroom. They're in the locker room with little minor children. That should make all of us really, really mad and furious. Not just straight conservatives, but all of us. They have a mental illness. Pedophiles are also mentally ill, and both are dangerous. Okay, mental illness is not to celebrate. It's to help and to treat. We shouldn't cast them into hell, because I refuse to believe that. There's something wrong, whether it's through hormones or neurotransmitters or something like that. If we cater to people without helping them, we're feeding the fuel. We're feeding the fire. We're fueling the fire. And it's only a matter of time. It's time that we go after the goddamn bottom-feeding politicians and their surety bonds. Because they are certainly not protecting our constitutional rights or the constitutional rights of our children. And any of these laws that they're coming out with, the speech and the this and the that, are completely unconstitutional, can't be above the Constitution, because no law made can be above the Constitution. And when children begin being raped at the Y, and all the other wacko sufferers of political correct programming are not going to do a thing. They're going to continue to cover it up, because that's what they do. If not to avoid punishment, which is part one of two, but to avoid being wrong. The immense damage that's being done to children who have been sexually abused or being groomed to be is lifelong and very, very difficult completely impossible to overcome. And it's time that we all came together and filed against the politicians and their surety bonds, which makes it that they can't run again. They are making ridiculous laws, protecting the criminals, and allowing these disgusting associations to make rules and regulations against our constitutional rights. These poor children. Conspiracy theorists like me have been saying this for years, and it's coming true, and it's terrible. And I put the link into the chat, and I hope that you'll read it, because mainstream media is not. They're too busy celebrating. too busy celebrating themselves and each other for their golden calf morals. It makes me furious to see what is happening to this world and with children. I am Kristen Korda, and this is the Kristen Korda Show, and it is August 22nd, 2022, and it is Revolution Radio, which is found at freedomslips.com. Come on over to Element, app.element.io, and look up the room, Freedom Slips, matrix.org. And it is almost the top of the hour, and we're going to be taking a break, and I don't really know what I want to kind of get into what has gone on to make us drop the ball. I mean, it's overkill, it's overabundance of just the same things repeated, and we give up, and that's kind of what I want to get into. And if you'd like to make a donation to my GiveSendGo campaign, Leaving Connecticut, go to givesendgo.com/leavingconnecticut. That's givesendgo.com/leavingconnecticut. I would be so grateful if you could. I'm so sorry to ask, but the problem is I can't do it alone. I'm getting there, you know, but I need help. And I can't lose my car because I can't do anything. I just can't do it. And I can't get around, and I can't get a wheelchair. They won't do it. They won't give me one. My insurance won't. So I would be blessed if you could. We'll be right back after this break.
It's no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. Countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
Things were not quite right, that everything was just ever so slightly askew.
Do you have, to paraphrase Morpheus, a splinter in your mind?
If you're interested in hearing the latest information about UFOs, the paranormal,
ancient cultures and structures,
monatomic elements,
longevity,
fantastic discoveries in science,
download it to your brain,
then tune in to us. Hi, I'm Dave.
And I'm Mackie.
And we are Shiny Side Out, Sundays 2 to 4 a.m. Eastern. See you then.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Are you interested in the paranormal? Murder mystery? Real natural law. Do you enjoy interviews with amazing guests? Then join Crip Rick every Monday night, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on Revolution Radio. Studio A, freedomslips.com. Crypt Riffs, I think, thank you. Welcome to the crypt.
You going back in?
Still men out there.
God damn.
When I go home, people ask me, "Hey, Hoot, why do you do it, man? Why? Some kind of war junkie?" I won't say a goddamn word. Why? They won't understand. They won't understand why we do it. They won't understand it's about the men next to you. And that's it. That's all it is.
Revolution Radio. FreedomSlips.com. Number one listener supporter radio. The printing press for freedom at a time when freedom is needed the most.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Christine Korda Show, and I'm your host, Christine Korda. Hi, Fleeced. I know, sign of the times is, yeah, Fleeced said that Grandma never thought she'd live to see these days. Her country went full insane. You know, an 80-year-old woman has a completely different set of perceptions. And it's easier for us who are not quite that old, but I have a real stellar set of perceptions compared to everybody else, and it's really I can't even imagine what she. I just laugh. I get so nervous. I laugh, and then you know, people get mad at me, but I can't help it. I've always been that way, and people are like, "Why are you laughing? Because it's funny." No, because I can't help it. But yeah, my move, Fleeced, my move is not quite, it's shaping up. I have my Give, Send, Go campaign, which I'm begging, I'm sorry, I know it's a I feel embarrassed to ask, but I just got some more work done in my car, actually today. Thank the good Lord for that, because my car is a good car. God blessed me with a very good car. And I only need one more thing done, and then I have two houses that I'm looking at. I'm really trying to get something with a tenant, so that, because obviously running a house, you know, paying for a mortgage, I couldn't do it here. If I had any, if I had an opportunity to buy a home in Connecticut, I don't even think I could with two tenants. I mean the taxes in Hamden, Connecticut are $10,000-$15,000 a year, and they just keep going up. I had no idea that it was that much. The mortgages are not so high, but I'm looking in Florida and I'm looking South Dakota. I'm looking different places that people give me an idea. Tennessee. I mean, I don't have to worry about it because I'm not, thankfully, not really thankfully, but I don't have anything keeping me. I don't have family. I don't have anything keeping me here. So thank you for asking, because, well, it was nice of you to ask. And I'm hoping by November that I will be out And at least renting, there might be something coming up in that time, hopefully, but I'm not sure that it'll be Florida. Florida is not my first choice because it's too hot, and some of those videos they show about the alligators, I don't think I won't even sleep for the rest of my life. So this is the Christine Gordon. Thank you for asking. That's nice. I love you guys at Revolution Radio because you guys are so good to me, and I am not hard to deal with. I am very hard to deal with. I'm not easy to deal with. I have a lot of opinions, and my mind goes a mile a minute. I mean well, but that doesn't matter. And I really do, really am blessed with Revolution Radio. So thank you for asking. But my question in today's show is, we're worried about artificial intelligence. We're worried about the change in our genes from shots and chemicals and genetically modified foods and whatnot. But how do we get here? How did we get here? Yes, I understand that they really did lie a lot, and we are being ran by very, very bad psychopaths, sociopaths, and they're using dark psychology on all of us, and that's a very difficult thing to rise above out of. And I don't think we deserve it in any way, shape, or form, because obviously, when somebody comes across as good and decent and kind, very, very difficult to determine if they're lying. And I think that's another one of my savings grace, and I've talked to other people who have said, yes, it's a savings grace that when you have the gift of discernment, or being psychic abilities, which I know Christians who listen to my show, if they're still listening, have a problem with that word, but our own inner gifts come in and give us the ability to, what the heck are they showing me? I don't know how to do this with the chat, excuse me, sorry about that. I forgot what I was saying. I got segued. There's something that happens when we're being told the same lie over and over again. It's very difficult to fight back. There's constant cost of living, the stress of working every single day, day in and day out, just wanting to come home and sit down in front of the television or play a game on the computer or whatever, and they rely on this. The parasites rely on this, and they keep things just out of our reach, you know? And I'm having issues where I live where there's literally mice all over the place. I've bought poison. I don't like to buy poison, but I'm actually scared of using the traps. And they don't do anything. And I had an issue with my parking. They didn't even answer me. So when you are poor and you need legal help, they give you this kind of idea in the mainstream media and in the world that if you're poor, you get all the help you need and don't complain and this, that, and the other thing. I'm a taxpayer. I'm allowed to complain. These people are living the high life off of our money. And they're making us be abused while we pay them. I don't want to pay somebody to abuse me. Thanks. But my time for that is pretty much over. And that's what they've done. And until we recognize that that's going on, it's just going to keep going. And that's a sad, really sad thing, because that's where it comes in, that they make us fight. And now they're saying that there's colleges in America that won't allow white people into the recreation room in different places. So how do you define insanity? Doing the same thing over and over again and expecting results. Expecting different results. And it's not funny. I don't think it's funny. I think people are dumb. And they just, that's what happens when we allow ourselves to be led by the feelings. And all the years that I've researched demonic infestation, and I used to work with people never really spoke that much about it because it's not something that you should shout off the mountaintops, but people who have been victims of satanic ritual abuse, people who have been adults and gotten in a marriage with somebody who was in satanic worship or devil worship, and they always use the emotions. That's the one identifier, is that they always use the emotions. They get you to feel things. And something has happened over the last probably 100 years, maybe not that long, but they've been at this for a very long time. And if you look at Biden supporters and then you look at Trump supposed supporters, no offense to anyone here, I'd rather have Trump, truth be told, but it's all very cult-like. And when it becomes cult-like, that's when we have to be aware. Because cults rely on feelings. They mix up truth with lies, and they mix up guilt with a feeling of responsibility. And then they twist it, shake it, twist it, and do all sorts of different things with our emotions. Just like I said on Yahoo, when you say something like, "Oh, the poor gays, that's disgusting," somebody who's been mind controlled will look at it by their feelings that they don't know how to control, and they will say, "That's mean." And this is what's going to happen in this country. We're going to have people who are going to be like, "That's mean," and we're going to put you to prison, and we're going to lock you up. I'm telling you, it's coming. It's coming. And no, it's not. Yes, it is. It's already halfway here. The lady's banned from the YMCA. Who wrote the laws? Who wrote the rules? That is so subjective, it's not even funny. And then they could just come on the news and say she said this, she said that, that she's a complainer and blah, blah, blah. We're not able to stop this from happening because we don't understand it. And we don't understand it because we don't recognize it. And that's a very bad position to be in. And people like to hold on to their regular religion of going to Mass every week or going to the Bible and sticking our arms up in the air and saying, "Jesus is going to smote you when he comes back." No, I don't think he is. I think Jesus wants us to do things now. And I think Jesus told us what to do, and it's our responsibility to do it. I'm not talking about smoting somebody. I'm talking about calling it out and say, "You can't do this to children." I have to figure out, I don't know where I can go in Connecticut. I don't think it would even be reported in Connecticut. Just say, "Hush, hush it." As soon as the Marxist Democrats got a hold of the mainstream media and all the media outlets, nothing we can do. That's why shows like this one and other people on Revolution Radio are important. But I'm not sure. Do you guys think that we're going to be able to do it? Are we going to be able to change it? What if Trump, doesn't come back and save us, God forbid? Maybe it just is like the Bolsheviks, and he's just going to say, "Oh, I'm going to take the army, and I'm going to get the armed forces, and we're all going to be good, and I'm going to ride on a white horse, and he's going to be standing there with Jesus, and yay!" No. What if it doesn't happen? Where are we going to be there then? Where are we going to be then? "Oh, he meant well. Oh, he meant to do it, but he couldn't. He had a headache. Oh, they invaded his Mar-a-Lago, and everybody's like, oh, yay, screw him, F the other one." And every single one of our rights is down the tubes if we allow this to happen. It happened with Cuomo. When Cuomo was fired, or whatever, he resigned because the people accused him of sexual abuse. Sexual abuse is terrible. And so we used our feelings to say, well, he doesn't deserve any constitutional rights. That's why we are ushering this in. Because they're using our feelings against us, just like they used our support of Trump or our support of Biden, and not just those two, but of everyone over the years, how they have honed the skill of using us against ourselves and each other. So how do we get our humanity back? There's an article I want to look through. Says, if we lose our humanity, we lose ourselves. The kingdom of God is within us. And if we lose that bit of humanity that we have, we probably are going to lose God. Do you know how many people will say to me, oh, Christine, I'm so sorry that you're poor. And I see that you have a give, send, go campaign, but I'm just going to say a prayer for you. And it's not that I don't like prayers, because prayers are very good. But I need money. And God's not going to come out of the sky and say, well, here's $500. Go get your car fixed. He relies on human beings to do things. But we make excuses to not. I do it. Everyone does it. It's just human nature. And I think that the artificial intelligence is not the biggest, baddest way that we're losing the God gene. I don't think that the GMOs are the worst thing that could happen to us. I don't think that the shots that are altering our DNA and altering our mRNA and thus altering our genetics over time, I don't think that's the worst thing that could be happening to us. It's pretty bad, but I don't think it's the worst. I think the worst thing is that we're allowing it. It's the worst thing. If everybody that said a prayer for me gave $5, $10, I wouldn't be having to ask all the time. I would get the car fixed and I would probably be out of Connecticut. And I'm sorry, that's a terrible example, but it is true. It is true. And I remember this one thing on Facebook where people are nuts for animals. They're nuts. And I love animals too, and I think I'm borderline nuts. But when we look at it, are animals more important than people? And if you say to yourself yes, have to think about that. Where have we gone to if we are of the opinion that animals are more important than people? There was two lost dogs. They were the cutest little dogs. I love dogs. My dog is the best thing that ever happened to me in my life. I adore her. I just adore her. She went to the place today and she helped me get the transmission fluid changed. She was so cute. She got some milk bones too, so it wasn't without, you know, reward. But I love her. I can't be without her. She's with me all the time. She's so darn cute. And I can't imagine anybody hurting her or anything else. I love animals. But here's the thing. There is a point where we see that people were looking for two little lost dogs. It was cold out. And there was a rescue that was saying, please come and look for these puppies. And homeless people, two homeless guys, went out, searched, and found the dogs. And I literally sat here, this was a few years ago, and I watched as they said, oh, the babies are safe, and we have them on the bed warmers. We put heated blankets on them, and they're in the cafe now eating some bonbons and boochie booch. And, oh, boy, and I said, what happened to the homeless guys? Oh, we got them some Dunkin' Donuts coffee. Did you get them a heated blanket? Were they in the dining room at the shelter eating cookie bonbons, bark bark bonbons, and little milk duds? No. I said, how do you thank homeless people for saving your dogs by giving them a cup of coffee? You could have gotten them a hotel room. You could have tried to help them a little. And the lady got sort of mad at me, and then everybody, of course, came in, and, you know, they have to enable it. And I was evil for hating dogs so much. Not once in the way that I asked was hating dogs. And that's what happens to our perception when we are led primarily by our feelings. People will walk away from this show and say that woman is a racist, and she's a big, fat meanie, And she doesn't like gays or transgender. And she doesn't like animals. Get her off the network. And that's what we have allowed ourselves to become. And if it makes us feel good, we're going to go ahead and keep on letting it happen. Since 2010, this week, no, it's 12 years ago, 12 years ago that I started my radio career. And I was really highly rated on Blog Talk Radio. And I started to do little fun shows about conspiracies and funny little things like the guy on before me, Dr. Fetzer, who's a professor, a college professor. And I used to listen to him and think, well, he's a really smart guy, but it's kind of crazy. And then I started to research what he was saying and research on the conspiracy theories. And I was like, oh, no. And I started to change my thought. Wait a minute, I have to send someone a message. So I can't write and talk at the same time. We're not going to be able to change it if we don't recognize what's going on. We're not going to be able to do it. And we're going to have to just sit down and put our head down and hope for the best. And I'm going to tell you what's going to happen is they're never going to stop. Look at what they're doing now. Look at the things that they're doing now. Have you ever tried to get customer service and how sorry they are? You ever try to get help at Amazon? Oh, they're so sorry. Oh, we're sorry that you have to wait for a bot. But we're very, very busy. They're not very, very busy. They're not answering because they want to control everything. Did you ever get on the bank, the line with the bank, and they, oh, we're sorry that happened to you, but we can't do anything about it. It's all talk, and we're losing our rights because we are allowing them to play with our feelings. If you try to get a hold of Amazon, you can't do it. There's always going to be room for mistake. Most of the people that work there are very nice kids, very nice people who deliver the goods, and sometimes they make mistakes. But instead of owning up to it, we get the, oh, I'm sorry about your experience, but he said, see, she said it was delivered, and they did this, and they did that, and it's all the words of the demon worshippers who are using words to put us under spells, just like the spell of Brunhilde or whoever we're afraid of. Except this is the real kind of spells. And I believe, and I'm going to opine on this, that it comes because we are too connected to our egos, our sick egos, our damaged ego, and we're not seeing other people anymore. We've been allowing ourselves to dehumanize each other, and we can watch it happen. As black people who may or may not have already dehumanized white people are doing it now. Who on earth in their right mind, and who on earth when they had a true sense of humanity, would allow a college to ban white people from their rec room or whatever? I didn't even read the article, sorry. I've heard of it before. It's happening a lot. Who in their right mind would allow that unless dehumanization occurs? And this is what we keep doing. And that's what they're using against us, you know? That's what they're using against us. So the chips that we're missing are freely given up. And the people who stand 2 inches apart, masks all over themselves, they've been vaccinated 4 or 5 times and boosted 4, they're standing with masks on, 2 to 3 inches apart, to wait to get into a room where bottle returning machines are 2 feet apart. Because that's what happens when we allow ourselves to be manipulated by our feelings. And you've got part of the world, the Christian ones, who will not associate with anyone else because they've been taught to dehumanize everyone. Jesus Christ said, love one another as I have loved you. He didn't say dehumanize anybody. He didn't say don't go near that person. I'm not saying move in with them. But you see how that happens. How it can happen in any walk of life that we're in. And it is endlessly devastating to me because I have two children who I adore. I don't care if they're 95 years old, I'll say it again. They are my babies. And I'm watching it happen. I thank God that they're not in school. I homeschool them anyway. But I thank God they're not there now, because what kind of a humanity, what kind of people in what kind of humanity allows their children to go to school where there's potential shootings, where there's the confusing rhetoric of, I have a penis, but my name is Jane, and I'm going to go to the bathroom in your bathroom, whether you like it or not. What kind of parents are we that we send our children into situations like that? I'm not prepared to deal with that sort of thing. How are 6 and 7 year olds able to deal with those things? But yet here we are. It's social conditioning, and it's programming. It's MK Ultra all around. It's not maybe not fear based, but it's based on fear. And we're watching it unfold. And if we don't let go of what we used to be, we will never change. That's the thing. It's growth. It's growth. We can't expect things to change if we don't change. Does that make sense to anyone who's still listening? We are embracing being a victim. We are embracing suffering. And we are rewarding those who suffer the most. Not all suffering, only the suffering that's pandered by. Not the real survivors of sexual abuse, not certainly not the satanic ritual abuse survivors, because that's all fake. We don't want to deal with that. That's a reality we don't want to look at. But, you know, the other ones. So much so that we're desperate to chop up and mutilate our bodies because we can't stand ourselves the way that we are. It is such a deep problem. It's such a deep problem. And slowly but surely, our rights are being chipped away like that Nazi German weirdo. I hope he has a front row seat in hell, because I'm going to cheer him on. Sorry, and all that other happy horseshit. God forgive me. These people are evil to the core. And he says, you're going to own nothing and be happy. No. No. We're not going to know what being happy is. That's the difference. And that's what's happening to society. It's looking for everything other than what is truth. And other than what is godly, I guess is what I'm saying. Spending days isolated in the house, sitting around watching television. Thank God I have my children and my dogs and my ferrets. It caused people to disconnect. And it caused people so much fear. And we were groomed for this. We were groomed in order to be pushed to take those shots. And we don't like discomfort so much that we don't want to talk about it anymore. We don't want to talk about the diseases and the shots and the cancer. We don't want to hear about it anymore. Shut up, Christine, and people like you, shut up. We don't want to do it. We don't hear about it. Talk about something else. Talk about something nice. Why? Is talking about something nice going to get us to the next dimension when we die? Are we going to go to heaven and say, hello, how are you? You said, if you love me, take up your cross and follow me daily. Oh, but wait. he wasn't really serious. Yeah, he was serious. So how are we going to bring the truth if we don't see the truth? And how are we going to see the truth if we are not looking at it and we don't want to hear about it? I don't want to hear about two-year-olds having mass heart attacks. I don't want to see the videos of these athletes dropping dead. I don't want to read the statistics of the website I put into the chat about the 140,000 plus percent raise in cancer in a year and a half. Not even a year and a half. They're not going to destroy the world. We are, by not fighting back. Another article, massive miscarriage rates among vaccinated pregnant women found buried in the Pfizer documents. It's not like they even tried to hide it. They didn't completely hide it. We don't look. The PFDA, and that's not a typo, the PFDA, P is not a typo, asked a federal court for 75 years to make public the many thousands of pages of data submitted to them by Pfizer to support the EUA that they, the PFDA, issued. One interpretation of this action is that they wanted the data to stay hidden for a long, long time to hide fraud and or criminality, which is the same thing. And the other is that they only had enough staff to complete this task within 75 years. Let's ignore the second one, because it's absurd. They pour out documents monthly after the judge ordered them to. Where there is a will, there is a way, apparently. Now, why would they want to keep the data hidden? What lies within the realm of possibilities is that at the time they went to court, they knew the EUA, emergency use authorization, and the resulting massive national and global vaccine campaign were predetermined and independent of whatever science emerged to support or not support the campaign. Unfortunately for them, the science was not supportive at all, so they tried to suppress the serious, troubling toxicity and lack of efficacy data contained within those documents. Well, the court ordered them to make public thousands of pages of documents each month. His hypothesis above seems to be validated by the uncovering of what is not just troubling, but absolutely terrifying data on the lack of safety in pregnancy. While Dr. Naomi Wolf, and I'll put the link into the chat, you can get it now, or you can get it. It's an article from SOTG.net by Pierre Corey, MD, MPA. It's called Massive Miscarriage Rates Among Vaccinated Pregnant Women Found Buried in the Pfizer Documents. And if you look at it, you can read it and see all the graphs and everything. And I really think we shouldn't stop talking about it, because they're still doing it, and they're going to bring more and worse. Let me just get to the point. Dr. Naomi Wolf and the War Room Daily Clout research volunteers recently corrected a report that overcounted miscarriages in one section of the Pfizer documents. They are right to have early and often called attention to signals about this issue overall. In May 2022, they broke the story of another section of the Pfizer documents in which the mortality rate of fetuses and babies of women vaccinated with Pfizer's mRNA injection was about 80%. I'm going to put this in the chat. 80%. And there it goes in the chat. They've got all the things, the data here, and the links where you can find it. So I can read on, and it'll be fun. But we have to keep talking about it, my friends. Because we have to. Because if we don't, they're just going to keep taking the next move and the next move and the next move and the next move. And it's not just going to be about pronouns. It's not just going to be about swimming pools. It's going to be about far, far worse. I was around sociopaths and psychopaths my whole life. They're actually crazy. And they have ingenious ways of getting things their way. It's not going to stop with me. It didn't stop with me. All the juicy anecdotal stories I talk about with the ritual abuse that I went through didn't just stop with me. I don't talk about it for me. I talk about it to warn everyone who listens to me that it's coming for you. And it's here. And it's not going to be good. It's not going to be good. And we're going to have little to no control over what they do. Now, I'm getting old, and I don't really foresee living much longer. I'm a very heavy woman, and I'm certainly not healthy. The stress alone should have killed me 10 years ago. But, you know, there's still hope. And but for our children and grandchildren, we really do need to be speaking up and take the jeers and the insults and the banning and the everything else that will come your way. Because once we can get bigger numbers than them, people may start to listen. We need to be praying, and praying a lot, and asking God for His will, and saying sorry to God in whatever way you resonate, and in whatever you resonate spiritually, saying sorry to the Creator, because we've lost ourselves on the beaten path. And they're controlling a narrative that really, really is not good. It really is not a good narrative at all. And I'm telling you, in New York, and probably in Connecticut, I can't find any news about it in Connecticut, but I have a feeling about it in Connecticut. My feelings are usually not wrong, that they're going to be putting us into COVID camps. And why not? It's for the best of all of us, right? And I really believe that they're going to do this. I really do. And the reason that they're going to get away with it is because we're not fighting back. We are not. The best way we can fight back is to speak up and support each other. If it makes us feel bad, oh well. What's going to be worse, when we're in a COVID camp or when we feel uncomfortable for a couple of years? I have done this show for the last at least, well, it's got to be 2 years that I've been talking about this. It's about 2 years. 2020 I started, and started to talk about this. And I think I took at least a month. And then I just kind of got engaged with doing other things and actually forgot to come here for my show several times. And it has been so hard for me. And I've spoken to other radio show hosts. It's very hard for them too. It's been hard for us. But we don't want to talk. I want to talk about fun things. I want to talk about readings. I want to talk about ways to adapt to the negativity in the world. But I don't think this is about adapting. I think this is about a battle. It's about a battle. And we've learned to be victims so much, and we've learned to always want to feel good and always want to have peace and always want to binge watch and eat cookies and not have to worry about things that we don't have control over anyway. But we have to speak up, and that's how we can fight back. Emma, can you go upstairs and get the package? She said just knock a little bit louder. I'm trying to get a package that Amazon misdelivered and can't get a hold of me either. And my daughter's not listening because she has headphones on. You get upstairs, they're there now. Just knock a little loud. Okay, excuse me 1 second. Okay, I got my ferret some treats yesterday, and they're giving me the stank eye because I didn't get it from them yesterday. The package was delivered. In order to save the world, we have to find our humanity and understand that we're worth it. Everyone is worth it. And just because somebody makes us feel bad or doesn't look nice or whatever, or we don't agree with religiously, doesn't mean that we should just let them fall by the wayside. And by saying that we need to stop transgenders from going into the bathroom of what they feel like, doesn't mean that I don't think they have rights. I don't want to hurt them. I don't want them to be hurt. I think they should get the help that they need. And not to the highest bidder, or not from the highest bidder, which is what the doctors and psychologists are doing by being bought by whoever's behind it. We can't just dehumanize people because we don't agree with them. Look at how they've used it against us. They really have been used against us. That's what I'm saying. And the only way we can do it is by waking up to the truth, the reality of what's going on in this world, in our country, and in our lives, and also, above all, in our souls. And I don't know how to make it happen any more than I do by babbling on like a maniac every week. I won't say maniac. I know that people are sick of listening, and I get that. But that's the only way to do it. If you're listening to me still, come on my show and talk about it. ChristineCorda@yahoo.com, so we can talk about it and give more data or other opinions that you have or ways that you think what we can do to keep us on the right path. I hope that made sense. I don't feel like anybody's listening. I never do. But it's okay. I think one or two, even if one or two people hear me, it'll still be worth it if I can reach one or two people. I hope I'm wrong. I hope in a year from now, somebody tells me, nope, you were wrong. And I'll be like, thank God. Just thank you, God. You know? But I don't want to be right at all. I really don't. Anywho and anew, this is Christine Corda, and you're listening to the Christine Corda Show. Today is, again, to reiterate, I keep wanting to say April, but it's not April, it's August 22nd, 2022, and this is Studio B at Revolution Radio, which is found at freedomslips.com. So, we're in a very bad time. And this isn't anything new. If you think about it, when Jesus was born, maybe this is the second coming of Jesus. Jesus was born, and they all went around and killed the firstborns of the women. They missed him, so it's not the first time that this has happened. It's not going to be the last, but it really is a defining moment in time that we have to get through. And I'm a believer that God breaks beauty from ashes, and it doesn't mean I don't complain about it a lot, but I believe that God works out what we need for our best, even through the darkness and the dark times. Emmy, look at that picture. Emmy, look at that picture. Isn't that, oh, there's a beautiful picture on the TV screensaver. I wondered, I'm going to see. This is a beautiful picture of a mountain and a street. It's beautiful. I don't know where these photographs are that they put on the screensaver, but I wish I could get a book. But we need to face what is going on and face our own humanity that's within us and face maybe the mistakes that we've made. I've been introspective throughout the last 2 years, and I'm not very proud of what I saw. And it's really, really, really a sad thing. It really is. Here's an article I'm going to end with. Hopefully, I won't go over. It's from SOTT.net, and I'm going to put this in the chat. This has caught my eye. It's very hard to feel close to God when things like this are going on. But it's very important that we recognize that we are in the dark night of the soul, and not everything is going to be rainbows and unicorns and frolicking through the meadows singing kumbaya, that we're going to have some damage, we're going to have some battles, and we might not win. We might be killed. We might be getting shed on, and it's only going to be a matter of time. Personally, that's my belief, that we've only got a couple years left. But that's not my decision. And this is called The Serpent and the Staff, Symbols of Safety and Security in the Propaganda of a Global Medical Tyranny. And this is from SOTT.net, written by Daniel Browdy and Valerie Curie. Propaganda and Focus, from Tuesday, the 5th of July, 2022. Understanding the bizarre social and economic transformations afoot in the world today requires a considerably wider view of history than is presented in contemporary corporate media. In this present era of an emerging bio-nano age, we can see, if we squint to history, the faint contours of ancient cultures practicing mystic rites, medicine, and alchemy. It is hardly a stretch of the imagination to witness traces of the mythological past expressed in the present and to see the use of symbols as integral to such practices. Mass consent to these radical changes is due in large measure to powerful forms of propaganda and the effective use of key symbols working on populations terrorized constantly by authority figures issuing ominous warnings of certain societal doom. Why are signs and symbols in the hands of power structures so elemental to a particular social order? Public consent in democratic societies necessitates that power and authority manufacture or maintain the significance of symbols that will, in the popular imagination, help regiment perception, thought, and behavior. The people must be conditioned to recognize and perceive in the symbols shared meanings, whether consciously or unconsciously, and think about or respond to them in the approved and appropriate ways. This is the job of integration and agitation propaganda, to agitate emotion and enfeeble human reasoning to sufficient degrees so as to integrate the mass public into approved plans of acceptable social practice. Pretty much what I said, but man, they said it so much better. And I'm just going to go right back to the article because it just blipped off my screen. Okay, approved plans of acceptable social practices right there in front of our eyes. Quote, because of their transcendent practical importance, Walter Lippmann noted, no successful leader has ever been too busy to cultivate the symbols which organize his following. This article examines the history of the symbols as an organizing material principle of societal control, social control, central to the purpose of propagandizing acceptable social practices and conditioning the masses to follow. In the present age, the dictates of an emerging biosecure global economy. The aim is to show how symbols in ancient cultural practices wield significant influences in the new tyrannical normal and what this kind of social reproduction might portend for the future. Ancient concepts and practices. Since nothing of productive value can come from chaos, efforts to organize social control are not always rooted in some hidden sinister scheme. What privileges do with the hierarchy, Lippmann observes, symbols do for the rank and file. They can serve unity. A unified people, however, can be both a blessing and a curse. Not sure that I agree with that, but I'll read on. So, not that it's a blessing or a curse, but I don't think that it doesn't. Maybe it gives a distorted sense of unity. Some of the earliest recorded instances of a culturally unified response to symbols can be found in the biblical record of Numbers. Here it is recorded the Israelites wandered the wilderness of Sinai for years, and some struck by pit by vipers were instructed to look upon a bronze serpent crafted by Moses as a symbol of Yahweh's miraculous power to attend personally to the afflicted. Though the faithless masses had failed to see their own offense of unbelief, even as they had witnessed their own unlikely freedom from bondage, Yahweh made made a way to atone. The overtly futile act of simply gazing upon a bronze serpent for an ailing Israelite, immensely humbled, served as a material lesson in the curative powers of repentance. Repentance. That was a pretty picture. The symbol of the serpent in time became a powerful point which to focus attention for necessary healing. From the totem pole to the national flag, from the wooden idol to God, the invisible king, from the magic word to some diluted version of Adam Smith or Bentham, Lippmann says, symbols have been cherished by leaders, many of whom were themselves unbelievers because they were focal points where differences merged. Over the years, however, the bronze serpent also became for the Israelites a mysterious expression of magic that for them morphed eventually into an idol of worship. The story of the cult of the serpent cautions us to consider today the claims of corruptible mortals who, with overweening pride, arrogate to themselves unassailable powers of complete healing. In ancient Greek narratives, too, the serpent figured prominently in the development of medical practice. The staff of Asclepius, an ancient Greek symbol of healing and medicine, depicts a serpent entwined around a wooden scepter. The symbol is associated with the Greek demigod Asclepius, a master healer, I probably pronounced that wrong, forgive me, a master healer who, according to legend, acquired his powers through the whispering of snakes. The medicinal power of snakes in myth and scripture is said to emanate from the dual ability of their venom to both kill and heal. Just as drugs can poison or cure, and incisions wound or repair. Biblically, whether the serpent exerted its deadly or curative power rested with the faith of the follower. According to Moses' account, the snakes that plagued the Israelites served as chastisement for their loss of belief in him who had called them out of captivity. Cure for the deadly snake bites came only by virtue of faith in Moses' bronze serpent, which brought healing through the redemption of restored faith. Thus, the serpent's medicinal power is historically infused with penance for sin and salvation through a return to devotion. In these ways, the serpent and the staff combine the authority of a king's scepter, and the magic of a wand with the menacing creatures whose deadly venom turns magically medicinal in the hands of a saintly healer. Together, the two symbols signify an chemical transformation of the flesh from condemnation to redemption, poison to potion, curse to cure, and death to life through faithful belief in the anointed staff bearer. As Lippmann notes, the leader knows by experience that only when symbols have done their work is there a handle he can use to move a crowd. In the symbol, emotion is discharged at a common target, and the idiosyncrasy of real ideas blotted out. Consistent exposure to society's key signs and symbols in education, advertising, and public discourse conditions us to heed the warnings offered by authorities who embody the associated mythologies of contemporary medical practice. In this sense, the individual's psyche is subdued, and with it, each unique human perspective and ideas subordinated to the plans and demands of leadership. The staff of Asclepius, I can't pronounce it, I'm so sorry, is today an internationally recognized symbol of medicine, just as Moses and the temple of Asclepius brought physical transformation and staved off death. So too do doctors in today's medical temple, the hospital, whose powers of healing may appear equally as miraculous. We, as anesthetized patients, may be put to sleep in one broken physical state and awakened to another renewed. We enter a doctor's office bearing suffering and exit with the recipe for relief. Our doctors fathom the mysteries of the invisible world inside our bodies, our cells, our organs, our brains, with nearly magical insight divined from arcane realms of knowledge known only to the initiated. They make us better, stronger, safer, and keep us alive. We sin, we eat too much, we drink too much, we sit too much, we become distressed. Our doctors redeem us. They forgive us. Our only responsibility is to trust them and do whatever they say without question. Follow the doctor's orders. I think they're going to get to this, but I'm just going to say they also cause all our issues. We're all the same. If you listen to the show I did on Pharmakia, where they show the loop of where it goes from the bad food to the politicians to the doctors to the medicine. Doctors are expected to lead. We are expected to follow. And doctors are expected to be godlike. We are expected to place our lives in their hands. Under the current invocation of serpent and staff since the advent of the COVID-19 narrative and the global medicalization of politics, the roles and responsibilities of doctors have been fused with those of the state. Medical interventions have morphed into political expedients implemented by the world's power brokers on a worldwide scale. The doctor-patient relationship has migrated from the interpersonal privacy of the doctor's office to a geopolitical stage, along with it the archetypical goodliness of doctors hand-selected by the state, and the plutocracy have been projected onto our governing institutions and authorities. And that's where we are now. More about that next week. Thanks for listening, everybody. Have a great week. See you next week. Take care. God bless.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio.
Hey everyone, it's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyal? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me,
give me liberty! Oh, give me!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence and their global partners are destroying the deep state criminal power structure that has ruled over our planet for hundreds of years.
We are free with the God-given rights, and we shall not yield that right to any power on earth.
Hi, I'm Scott McKay. The world is at, and I am your host on The Tipping Point. On Revolution Radio, where every Monday from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, we bring you the latest in this ensuing takedown of this global criminal empire.
That's an image of strength.
You'll get the raw, hard truth here on The Tipping Point.